maybe you can ask yourself, why don't I come every Sunday? Some may say, I don't need to go every Sunday. God knows my heart. And others would say, I don't need to be there physically in attendance. I have cable, over 500 channels. I can catch Charles Stanley or one of the other preachers on TV. As you go through your Christian life, you will notice the same thing in every church. You'll notice the same faces for everything: church, Bible study, classes, cell group, business meeting, prayer meetings. But then you look around and you say, why aren't the others here for all of these? There are Christians whose attendance are not as frequent. They only attend once a week. They do not attend Bible study. They do not attend prayer meeting. They do not attend cell group. And you have to ask yourself, what is the difference between these two groups of people? Why do some choose to come as they do and others do not? Does it make a big difference? Well, yes, it does. It makes a big difference in not only the spiritual life of a Christian, but also that spiritual life of the Christian congregation. I want to share with you some of the reasons why you should attend every church service. Of course, unless hindered by illness or other circumstances beyond your control. There are several reasons why many Christians have chosen to serve as they do. Here's some examples. The first of all is to fulfill the command of God. See, the command not to forsake our assembly. And there's three words from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 25 that I want to share with you that I want you to pay attention to. And those three words are forsaking, habit, and encouraging. In Hebrews 10, 25 warns us against complete abandonment of assembling with others. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you will see the day drawing near. Now, just a little tidbit on a side note here. As the day draw near, when you look at that, first thing you would probably want to think about is, at the end of time, what's going to be the only group still standing? There won't be any football teams. There won't be any Teamsters Union. There won't be any co-workers. Nothing like that will exist, but the church will. And the question is, what group are you associated with? Where are you going to be in that time when everybody else that's associated with the church is standing in heaven praising God? While you may not have abandoned our assembling of attending once a week, skipping that one assembly makes it easier for you to stop coming altogether. Are you a creature of habit? I am. I always like to put my left shoe on before my right shoe. I don't know why, creature of habit. But what about when you're driving and you find yourself on the interstate, you know, and you may be going shopping or you may be going somewhere else? I get close around Causeway Boulevard and I find myself wanting to do this, take the Causeway exit on a Sunday. We're closed. Why am I trying to go to work? That's being a creature of habit, doing something without even having to think about it. When you get in the habit of doing something, you don't have to think about it. You'll always take that same path, even on your days off. Don't do like me. So when you're in the habit of attending every Sunday, you are not likely to begin skipping service, which leads you to stop attending altogether. The next one. What about the command to edify one another, to lift each other up, to inspire? That's what's edifying. In Romans 15, 1 through 2 says, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So you see, encourage one another. By simply being here. Sometimes as I sit out in the back and everything, and I see people worshiping and everything, and I look around and I see hands lifted up, or I see somebody on their knees praying in the middle of the song, that's edifying. That's building me up. And I thank you guys, those that I see doing that, for keep doing that. Simply put, Your presence itself encourages others to be here. Now, here's a question. How do you feel when you go to cell group, or do you go to a church function, or you go to a prayer meeting, and you don't see your brothers and sisters in Christ? But later on that night, you go home and you look on Facebook or some other social media, they chose to hang out with those in the world. Is that lifting you up? To me, that's bringing me down. Can we really say that we're edifying others when we're absent most of the time? Look around. Do you recognize everybody here? You may not know them by name, but if you saw their face in the store or if you saw their face at the movie theaters, you would recognize them and say, I know you. You're from church. What if I was to ask you to make a list of those people that are not here today? Would you be able to do it? When we are not present enough to notice that others have stopped coming. Two guys sitting all the way in the back. And the first one says, why is that lady sitting in Frank's seat? And the second guy says, that's not Frank's seat. And the first guy says, sure it is. Frank always sits right there. Every Sunday, he's there. And the second guy looks at him and says, didn't you know? Frank passed away 3 months ago. That's what happens when you're not here all the time. You fail to realize who's here and who's not here. Again, you don't have to know everybody's name, but it helps when you can look around and say, that person has stopped coming, and put them in prayer. The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly, edifying one another. But here's the best one. How's about the command to seek first the kingdom of God? Jesus commands us to put his kingdom first. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We all have priorities. We all have things to do. Cutting the grass, washing the cars, doing the laundry, cleaning the house. We all have things to do. But Jesus says, put his kingdom first. So that means that before I get up on a Sunday morning, which I don't cut grass on Sundays, but I decide I want to cut the grass, go to church first. Oh, Lord tells me my van hasn't been washed in about 2 weeks. Before I do that, go to church first. Then I can put, I can put all those other things second. But seek God's kingdom first. Many Christians will not play sport or take on any other extracurricular activity if it means that it's going to conflict with them coming to church on Sunday. Missing church for the purpose of going tailgating, football game, playing golf, going fishing, or even just being lazy and say, you know what, it's cold outside and I'm tired. I stayed up too late last night watching movies. I'm not going to church today. That's not putting God first. That's putting yourself first. And that's not what God has commanded of us. Many Christians would not accept a job if it means missing services. But yet, here's the kicker. Those that do come, they find that God meets all of their needs. They're not lacking for money. Keeping him first, putting him first, he'll provide. And let's say, look, there are jobs out there that require people to work on Sundays. Hospitals never close. Police department, always on duty. Our military, always on duty. But the thing of it is, what about that day when you're off? And your boss comes over to you and says, hey, you want to come to work this Sunday? And you're like, hey, man, extra money. It's almost Christmas time. Our anniversary is coming up. Yeah, I can use that extra dollar. Sure, I'll be there. That's not putting God first. If you want to put God first, this is what you tell him. You say, sure, I'd love to come into work on Sunday and make some extra money right after church. How's that? That's keeping God and putting his kingdom first. It is one thing to miss because you provide critical service to others, such as in a medical need, but it's not okay to miss just to make extra money. Some people stay at home because of aches and pains, but they go to work on Monday, same backache, same headache, same leg pain, or you might even see them in a grocery store, or even at the movie theaters. A leave works wonder, I guess, after you take it after church service. Putting Christ first, even before family. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, it says, "He who loves the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." But check it out. "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." These are not my words. These are his words. Same thing you read in your Bible. Why not bring them to church with you? Maybe they'll learn that, hey, maybe I need to be doing the same thing, putting God first. Or what about this? Why not say, hey, look, you can stay up and finish watching this movie, but you know what? I'm going to church in the morning. I'm going to bed. So you know what? You are invited to come with us. What time would you like me to wake you up? Try those things. Who do we say our true family is? Those of you all that know me very personally know that I claim I have three families. I have my biological family, and I have two adopted family. Now, if you ask me who I say my true family is the family that I was adopted to. But you know what? This is what it says in Matthew chapter 20, chapter 12, verse 50. It says, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." While members of my family may not be true Christians, they won't keep me from going to church. And I'm not going to allow them to keep me from going to church. So if they want to visit, hey, you're more than welcome to spend a weekend. Stay as long as you want. I don't care less. Sunday morning, my family and I, we're going to church. You're welcome to come with us. Invite them and see where it leads them to. Can anyone say that faithfully keeping such commands when they consistently miss most of the service of the church? Are you being that faithful if you miss? Are you listening to God's words or are you listening to your words? Consider also another reason why you should attend every Sunday, and that is to grow and develop spiritually. Church services are designed for spiritual growth. The best form of growth that you ever have is to come and hear God's word. Now, some may say that they come to worship because they like the songs. Others may say that they come because they like to hear the pastor tell his jokes. Some even make fun of him tripping on his words. They'll be making fun of me too. But the real reason that you come here every Sunday is to hear God's word. It's not because of the air conditioning. It's not because of the heater. We don't have the freshest donuts in the morning. Don't have any donuts, to be a matter of fact. You come to hear God's word. That's why you are here 52 Sundays a year. That's why you're here. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Don't just listen to these songs, or don't just sing them, but listen to the words that is being sung. Here are some other spiritual things that help you to grow. What about your prayer time? Do you take time out to recognize Him? Do you speak? Do you Listen to hear him speaking to you. What about the Lord's Supper? Even our tithes and offering are designed to bring us closer to God and also closer to each other. Our growth is dependent upon our diet. You cannot grow as God intended on a starvation diet. While a starvation diet may lead you to start looking real good, it's not going to help you with your spirit, with you growing spiritually. When we do not attend church services or any church activity regularly, eventually suffering from a spiritual malnutrition. I told you'd be laughing at me and choking up on my words. What about your body? If you don't take care of your body, how will it respond? I have a brother, because of his diabetes, has lost the use of his right leg. And while his right leg is still attached to his body, it's non-functioning. He has to rely on his other leg to push him around on a little scooter, or he has to rely on his hands and his arms to operate his crutches. The same thing with the church. If you're a non-functioning member, you just come and you're a non-functioning member, how does that help the church to grow? If you're not there to perform a service or help out in any way possible in whatever talent God has given you, how are you helping the church? You're not. That means that somebody else has to pick up the slack and do the job and do a little bit more than they've already been doing. Try eating one meal a day. And tell me if you're the healthiest person out there. Sure, one meal a day and you'll start looking real good. You'll get a bunch of compliments on how your dress fit. But what happens to your body? It becomes weak. Next thing you know, you're sick. Same thing with the church. If we don't have people out there to help us, how is it going to be a healthy church? Do you know that a spiritual starvation diet leaves you susceptible to sin? Not seeking God in prayer, reading your Bible daily, and attending church will keep you from living a strong, joyful, peaceful spiritual life. Another reason to attend every Sunday is to help the church function properly. Now you could say, imagine a town. There's no plumbers, no carpenters, no doctors, no mechanics, no policemen, no EMTs. How do things get done? Who's going to do them? A wife looking out her front window one day, and she looks across the street and she asks her husband, when did the neighbor install a fountain in their front yard? The husband gets up and he goes out and he looks out the window and he says, that's not a fountain. That looks more like a busted pipe. So hopefully this week, with all the freezing that we've had, that nobody has a fountain in their front yard. See, the church would be the same way. If we didn't have workers, how would things get done? Where would this building be today if no one was here to build it? The church need workers. We have to have people. Without people, where are we going to be? Who would do it? The church is like a body needing every individual part to do its share. This service wouldn't be the same thing if Brandon wasn't sitting back there putting the song, the lyrics up on the PowerPoint. If you don't know the song, this is what you're going to be doing. Lip syncing, nothing coming out. You wouldn't know the words. What if our musicians was up here and Omar is playing one song, Lucita's playing another song, Valeria's singing one song, Abel's playing a different song, and the pastor's singing a different song? Who would you follow? What would it be like? I tell you the truth, I don't know what song I would sing. I'd probably sit down and just turn around. But it takes many hands to make this happen. People don't just show up and the service is what it is. The pastor doesn't just walk up here and say, okay, today I'm going to preach on, yeah, that looks good. It takes many hands to make this all come together. These musicians don't just come over here on Sunday morning, 5 minutes before or 15 minutes before service, pray, and then, okay, grab your instrument, let's go. Churches would not be able to exist if people didn't do the necessary things to keep it going. No one can say that they're not needed, nor can you say that we do not need others. For in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, 19, it says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they all were one member, where would the body be? We all can't be musicians. We all can't be Sunday school teachers. We all can't be ushers. We all can't be pastors. There's more than one function in this church, just like there's more than one function to your body to make it operate. Try covering your eyes one day. Wear a blindfold and see how you get around through the course of the day. To function properly, a church needs both spiritual and physical services. Not only physical workers, but what about spiritual workers, such as leading in song? Maybe you have a beautiful voice. Get with Lucito. See if you can lead in worship. What about leading in prayer, reading scripture, or even preaching? Funny how I would say something about preaching. Maybe that's why I'm here today. Guess I opened my big mouth, huh? But anyway, also you could be useful in the teaching of our adult and our children classes. What about being an usher? Or even cleaning or doing the maintenance work around this church? This is a big building. It requires a lot of maintenance. It would be awesome if we can hire outside contractors to come over here and do the cleaning. Hey, we need a door hung. We need a walls painted. We got walls to repair. The roof is leaking. That would be awesome. But you know what? That takes money. That's something we don't really have. So what we have to do is we have to rely on our members to do the work. But you know what? That taking money part, that's a sermon for another Sunday. I'm going to leave that for somebody else. There are many things which take place outside of the church. What about visiting the sick? What about helping the needy? Teaching the lost? Or even strengthening the weak? God gives you a talent and the ability to do these things. All you have to do is put them to use. The church is dependent upon its members. Can't expect the pastor to do everything. He can't preach. He can't change all the light bulbs. He can't fix all the plumbing, lay all the carpet, repair all the things that needs to be repaired. We need members. We need people with hands. Members who do not attend on a regular basis rarely do little else for the church. Being a church member is more than just singing a song, hearing a sermon, being a member requires you to be an active member. I just gave you a short list of things that the church needs. Pick a spot. Find one. Fill it. Put your talent that God gave you to use. Here's a true or false test for you. Do you want to see the church grow? Look around. Do we have room for growth? Do you want to save souls? What about, do you want to see the weak encouraged? Do you want to see our children and our adults have good teachers? That is, if you're answering true to all of these, then do something about it. Be an active member of this church and put your talent to good use. A church is no stronger than its members. A church is like a chain. How strong is a chain? A chain is only as strong as its weakest member. The weakest link breaks the chain. Same thing with a church. It's only as strong as its weakest members. A strong church has strong members. A weak church has weak members. So what are we? Where do we find ourselves? Do you consider ourselves to be a strong church or a weak church? Are you the weak link in that chain? Or are you the strong member of that chain? If you're the strong one, lift up the other ones. Make them stronger. Come. Be an active member of this church. Churches where the attendance drops Sunday, where members do not attend gospel meeting, will never live up to its potential of service to the Lord. Do you want to have to give an answer to the Lord as to why you hindered his church? Last one, to provide a good example and influence. Are you a good example? What is your influence? Is it positive or negative? How do people see you? Christians are to set good examples. We are to be a good example for one another. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech. Check this out. Conduct yourself in love, faith, purity. Show yourself an example for those who already believe. This is the example that you are to set. Even for those who believe, you're still to set a good example. We are to be an exceptional example to those in the world. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." You see, no matter where you go, where you are, who you're around, people will see you and hear you and take notice of what you're doing, especially if you call yourself a Christian. Has somebody ever pointed out to you and you call yourself a Christian? Have you ever heard that before? Something comes flying out of your mouth, and you're like, "Ooh, I should not have done that." And then you turn around, and somebody looks and says, "And you call yourself a Christian?" Well, what about you've done something that you're not proud of? Listen, we all fall. We're not perfect. You're not going to be a perfect Christian. If you are, you might want to check yourself. But take notes that people see you, especially if you call yourself a Christian. That's the person. If you want to live under the radar, you don't want people to know that you are a Christian, don't tell them. Because when you tell them, they will look for your fault. They will point them out to you. It doesn't make you feel good. But you know what? We're not perfect. But we ought to try to set a good example for those that are around us. Faithfulness, faithful attendance is essential for good influence. You want to know how to be a good influence on somebody? Attend faithfully. It sets a good example for babies in Christ, for those spiritually weak, for our visitors, and our own children. People are watching you. That's how your kids learn. They learn through what you do. Yeah, they may see the next door neighbor does something, but they see more of you than they see of the neighbor. You're their examples. Those that are weak in the church, they may see people from other churches, but they see you more. And so therefore, that's their example. Faithful attendance influences our friends, our relatives, and our neighbors. When they begin to admire your conviction and devotion to the Lord, they may begin to wonder, why are you so connected to the church? What is it about the church and God that draws you, that makes you who you are, that you act a certain way, that you carry yourself in a certain manner? And that may rub off on them. And you might see them one day sitting in here on a Sunday morning. Faithful attendants provide great support to our pastor, the leaders, and other Christians. There's two forms of attendance I want you to pay attention to right here. It says, you see, your presence alone is a source of great encouragement, while your absence may create anxiety for anyone concerned about your spiritual welfare. Whether you realize it or not, you are an influence to somebody. Your actions, your words, your conduct will influence someone else. Now, the big question is, what type of influence are you going to be? Are you a positive influence, or are you a negative influence in somebody's life? You may walk around and think that people don't notice you, but again, I tell you, if you have made those around you known that you are a Christian, they will be influenced by the things that you do. We cannot escape from being an influence to others. Now, the question is, will your influence be good or poor influence to someone else? Now you know, there's a good reason to be here every Sunday. We have 51 more in this year. It's your choice, your decision whether you want to come or not. You choose, you decide. But let it be of your own free will. Let God's word be the light that brings you here. Not your wife, not your husband, not your kids. You come because this is where you want to be. This is where God has placed you. This is where His word has put that conviction in your heart to be. And not just on Sunday mornings. What about cell group, where you can be uplifting to somebody else? Who knows? Maybe your story of the day may be an inspiration to somebody else. What about when there's a prayer meeting? Are you here? Are you putting God first when you say, you know what? I'm going to go. The kids can get up and eat cereal or whatever. Sorry, honey. You're going to have to eat cold donuts from yesterday. I'm not going to get fresh donuts. I'm going to the prayer meeting. What about when your family and friend are in? Hey, guys, for the last 5 days, I've been cooking breakfast for you. Today, I have a meeting at church, so you have to fend on your own. Lots of cereal and milk in the refrigerator. What about when there's a business meeting? It's important that you be here. You're a part of this church. Don't you want to know what's going on in the church? Don't let people look on Facebook and see that you went to Mardi Gras. Or you went to the Mardi Gras ball. Oh, Katy Perry was in town this weekend and stuff. They went to check out Katy Perry. Instead of being here with your brothers and sisters in Christ, even if it's a prayer. Let His word, His kingdom, be first in your life, and all will be added unto you. See, first thing is about being here on Sunday, is you're commanded. God says, keep holy the Lord's day. Do not forsake the assembly. It's necessary for you being here to hear God's words. It helps you to grow spiritually. Just coming to church isn't enough, though. To grow, you have to spend time with God in prayer. What about in silence? People look at traffic and say, oh my God, I'm stuck in traffic again. It's going to take me a half hour to get home. Why not turn off the radio and talk to God? Allow Him to speak. Say, Lord, you know what? There's two things I want to hear. One of them I really don't want to hear is the sound of horns and an engine running next to me. But I do want to hear you. Speak to me right now. You have nowhere else to go. You're stuck in traffic. You can't make it go any faster. You don't pay attention, you can make it go slower. What about reading the Bible? Are you spending time with Him that way? Does your Bible have marks in it where you read something and it was important to you? Or you open up a person's Bible and stuff and it's like, wow, nothing underlined, nothing highlighted. The pages aren't even, last time He opened this thing. Is that your Bible? You see, you can't have a healthy relationship with God just coming here once a week, just on Sunday. Oh, well, wait a minute, Ed. I do listen to life songs. Are you listening to the words? Are you just singing the melody just to pass time? What about it? You see, being an active member of a church helps also the church to function. This is a building, and it takes a lot of moving hands to make these services happen. These same helping hands help to teach our kids in adult classes. If this church is to survive, it will require its member to be active members, not just someone who fills a seat on Sunday mornings. And last, your presence sets a good example for not only those who are here, but also those people around you outside of this church. Here we are, week one, 2018, and you are here. You didn't come because there was nothing else to do. You came to hear what God had to say. 51 more. It's your choice. You decide if you're going to attend 51 or 21. That's your choice. My question is, what are you going to choose? If you're here of your own free will, that's awesome. Carry it with you through the week. Not just this message, but everyone. Pay attention to the songs that you're singing. It's a form of worship. Listen to what someone else wrote about God. You know, when you listen to the song, I Can Only Imagine, there's a point of the song where it talks about you being in heaven. And it says, what will I do? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you? Somebody was thinking about that day when they go to heaven. What's it going to be like? Now, you can sing that song 100 times and not pay attention to the words. But if you sing it and listen to the words, you'll find yourself, and at the end of the song, you'll probably ask yourself, what am I going to do on that day? Am I going to fall on my knees? Am I going to cry like a baby? Or am I just going to wear the biggest smile I've ever had, knowing that I'm now in heaven with Jesus?
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.